Here we go. This is the third session of our college finance series, third out of four. This session is intended to be a panel discussion. So instead of listening to me, you get to hear from other people who have relatively recently, been through the college experience. So we have three panelists today, and I'm going to allow them. That's Casey Brzozowski. And Ben and Amelia Rudolph. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves by sharing briefly just a little bit about their college story. Where do they go to college? How they pick that place? What degree do they pursue? You know, when you graduate, that kind of thing. Just in a couple minutes. How about Ben?
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm Ben. I'm Amelia's wife. All right, husband. And okay, 3 to 5 minutes about my college degree story. I remember when I was in high school, my calculus teacher was telling me, you should be applying to Ivy League colleges. She's telling me to apply to MIT and all these big colleges. And I remember at the time, a big factor in my college applications was, or in which college to apply to was the tuition cost. So getting a little ahead of myself here, but I pursued an engineering degree and I got an electrical engineering master's degree from Virginia Tech. I grew up in Forest, Virginia, which is not too far from here. I went to college directly from high school. I didn't go to Virginia Tech directly. I went to Virginia Western right here in town. I spent 2 years at Western getting an associate's degree in engineering. So 2 years there, and then basically they work with Virginia Tech, so there's a smooth transfer where all of my credits sort of transfer over, and I can basically pick up at Virginia Tech as if I completed my first 2 years in a bachelor's program. So that's what I did. And I spent 2 more years at Tech to get my undergraduate degree and then 2 more years to get my master's. So 6 years. And the reason I went to a community college, the reason I went to the community college is because it is a lot cheaper. And I chose Virginia Tech because it's a good college and it's in-state tuition. So a lot cheaper. I felt a lot of pressure to apply to these big name colleges, from teachers and stuff in high school. And I thought that was interesting because, in fact, my teacher actually, I think she was disappointed that I decided to go to Virginia Western. But, I will say that at the end of the day, I was really glad I did what I did because I was able to come out with my master's degree without one year after getting my master's degree, I didn't have any debt. And that was a real blessing. I don't think I could have done that if I had gone to a big college, especially out of state. And it was definitely a good education I got at Virginia Tech.
All right. That's great introduction, Ben. Amelia, just kind of tell us how you got the, you've been to several universities.
Yes, I'll be real quick. I graduated from Teachers Training University in Russia. I got bachelor's and master's degree in teaching English and German in non-native speaking environment as a teacher. Then I came to United States.
Let me ask you a question, because I was thinking about your U.S. experience, but in Russia, did it cost you any money?
No, I got salary for getting good grades.
Okay.
So, in addition to the fact that government paid for me, I got salary.
Okay, so you made money going to college in Russia.
Yeah.
And then you came to the U.S. Then what happened?
Yeah, God was good to me. I came to the U.S. I got a degree in master's in biblical counseling. Should I say which degree I get?
You can if you want. Why'd you do that?
I just don't feel like... I feel like I'm bragging or something.
Yeah.
Master's in Biblical Counseling from Master's College. I got a master's in Slavic degree. I studied linguistics with an emphasis on Slavic languages because I'm Slavic. I was in Slavic department. I was teaching undergraduates Russian. And then they took me into PhD in Spanish linguistics. And I was teaching Spanish.
You came to the U.S. and decided to go to the master's college for what reason?
To study Bible.
So you wanted to study Bible. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then you went to it was a Florida or Florida State?
It was Florida State.
Florida State. So why'd you go there? Were you trying to stay in the U.S.?
Yeah, I was trying to stay in the U.S. and I was applying to a bunch of school, and that was the school that offered me. I had no idea. I didn't care which school I'm going to go. I didn't have any money. I was dirt poor. That was the school that offered me to cover all my finances, everything, including my life. So I moved there. And just a side note, they say that it's the biggest party school. It is for undergrads. Grad school there is really hard.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because graduates, we both teach and study. Graduate school, it's research number one. So not like it's number one in the States, but means RA1, like it's in the, within the groups of research schools. Okay. So I didn't party when I was in school.
We got you. You had to work for your income. All right. Casey, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi. I'm the oldest of five, and I was the first one in my family of the kids to go to college. And so, my parents had no clue, but like how the application process worked. They didn't understand financial aid. So I pretty much I went to public school. And my senior year, I kind of relied on the guidance counselors. They helped me. They helped me prep for the SAT. They helped me apply for a few different schools. I ended up applying to Roanoke College, VCU. I'm from Richmond originally. VCU, Roanoke College, and Hollins University. I ended up going to Hollins University because they offered me a complete scholarship for the first year. So I didn't have to pay anything out of pocket except for books. And I was 18, and the idea of community college and living at home was awful to me, which in hindsight, I should have done that. But I wanted to get out and be on my own. And so this was great because I didn't have to worry about anything financial for the first year. So I ended up graduating from Hollins with a double major in French and business. Originally, I went to be a teacher, but I hated it. I hated the teaching classes. It's just not, I'm not a teacher. That's not where my skills are. And I mean, even this right now is making me nervous. So I can only imagine what teaching would do. But, I started at Hollins thinking I was going to be a teacher. Quickly changed my mind, and I had taken French classes middle school through the end of high school, so I was already, well, I thought I was pretty fluent in French, so I tested out of the all of the basic intro French courses, and I went straight to the 300s. So it was just I didn't want to do the teaching thing, so French was the natural second for me. But then my dad kept saying, you need something practical. So I tacked on the business just to get him to stop telling me I needed something practical. And so I graduated with a double major in 2009. I studied abroad my senior year for 6 months in France. I lived about an hour south of Paris.
Wow.
And went to a language school there. Each year I was at Hollins, the first year was completely paid for, and then each year after that, the package, the financial aid package was less and less, and I had to pay more and more out of pocket. I did have work study throughout, so I did that, and I worked several jobs on campus for work study. But by the time I was done at Hollins, I graduated with about $50,000. I'm getting ahead of myself. I guess
you can,
financial.
You can transition into your college finance story. That would be fine, because that's actually the next question anyway. So,
okay,
you can
include
back
it. Up and after college, after Hollins, I worked in a call center for 6 years. I hated that, and I wanted to do something, but I wasn't sure. But I'd always loved libraries and reading, so I was like, hey, why don't I just get a library science degree? So I found a program online, and I got a master's in library science and information technology from a school in Michigan. And that didn't require any GRE testing. And I got a bunch of loans for that. So by the end of my college career, I have about $115,000 in student loans right now, student loan debt. So don't do it. Don't do what I've done. So that's kind of my story.
Okay. So I didn't realize you had that 6 years in between bachelor's, multiple bachelor's, and master's. Boy, we have a very educated set of panelists. I wasn't really thinking that everybody here has advanced degrees, and so we've all at least had lots of opportunity to experience educational systems. And so your primary sources of funding, Casey, just to follow up on your questions, were working. You had no, it sounded like you didn't really have much support from home. And you got some kind of gifted funding, scholarship type things from the university. But as your degree went on, you were basically work, study, and loan.
Throughout, I got some grants for my parents. My dad's an electrician and five kids. So just because my parents didn't make much money, I guess, I got some grants just for that. And I got some scholarships along the way. But like you said, each year the tuition went up and the financial aid packages, there were more loans and more loans. And then my last year, I actually had to get, I had a private loan that I had to get to cover my trip to France. And I say had, but in hindsight, I didn't have to do. I could have done something different, but and then I also used a credit card to help pay for books and other things my senior year. And I'm still, that's one of the things on our list of debts, Chris, that we are still working on, is that credit card from 10 years ago. So yeah.
The good news is you're working on it. And we did statistics last week. Yeah, in the last couple of weeks. And from Hollins, the average 77% of the graduates of Hollins have debt, and the average debt is just about $40,000. So you're really not much different than the average in that sense. And probably the travel abroad helped push you up a little bit, but that's really, your experience is very common. And okay, how about financial story from Amelia? So you said, I mean, you came to the U.S. like with loads of money, right?
No, well, this is what happened. I was supposed to get a job on campus that would pay for my school $8,000. And my uncle gave me money, and I came to the U.S. with $4,000 in my account. When I came to the U.S., the job was immediately taken from me, so I was jobless. Wow. So for me, it was a week to decide if I'm staying or if I'm going. And I'm like, you know what? God brought me here. It took me 2 years to come here. If he brought me here, he's going to take care of it. So, and then I literally stayed by faith. I didn't have any plan. People told me, like, just stay and see what happens. So I paid for the first half of the semester out of the pocket, $2,000 that I was supposed to leave off. And I just saw what God is going to do. And as I went step by step, he provided. I told Ben, I begged people for money. I went to every single door. Everybody on campus knew me by the second week.
Wow.
Because I can't have a credit card. Like, and there's nobody who can help me.
Yeah, so you can't borrow money.
No, I can't have credit. Like, there's no way I can go to the bank and ask them for money. Or, like, there's no financial aid for international students. There's
nothing. You're not allowed to work?
You know, I'm not allowed to work off campus. I am allowed to work only 20 hours on campus. And I'm an international student, so international students are not at the privilege of getting job on campus. And I'm a graduate student. Graduate students are even worse. If it is a small campus, master's is a small campus, so they took a job from me, gave it to somebody else. It was a mixed up right before I came. So it is a growth and faith. And I just risk. I'm like, you know what? The day I don't have money and I don't have to pay anything, I'm just going to pack up and leave. And they can pay for my ticket. So I'm just going to be Russian in that sense. Just stay and see what happens.
So basically... Was your whole your master's college degree, that took 2 years maybe, or how long did it take?
So it took 3 years. They left me for the third year to translate a book instead of writing a thesis. So I was translating book and a half I translated. It was 2 books project. So from the second year, I was financed by the college and I got a job in cafeteria. I was in a dishwashing room. It was super humbling, having already a master's degree working in the dishwashing room. But whatever it takes, you know, to stay in the States and study at master's, it was great. So, and I was eating, I was grabbing food in the caf and paying for my own college based on the dishwashing. I didn't have a car. I was buying food in the 99-cent store. My budget was $20 a week.
For food?
Yes.
Wow. You're eating all carbohydrates.
I gained in the beginning so much weight. So what helped me, I lived in an international house and there were 5 girls. And I've noticed it's only us who do this. We shared food. That really helped me. We shared with each other, which I noticed that like local girls, they wouldn't do it. Like they had their own stuff and they were big on it. But we like the girl, they were my Japanese and Chinese roommates. We all shared, we ate together. So that really helped me with budgeting. God was good.
So God met you through people being generous in your first year.
All 10 years. I would not survive if God didn't send me people. And So my family would not share our needs. Like we're kind of like super independent back at home. So God had to break that wall. Like I was so needy and I'm like, I was told that I need to let people know. So I told professors, it's a sign I told Ben, not only I begged for the scholarship for myself from professors, my sister got the third year I was in the United States and I begged for scholarship for her. So she got full coverage.
Oh, wow. So you brought your sister over.
Well, God did, but yeah. Like somewhere I'm like, I was part of it.
Okay.
All my college was paid. I got a stipend and scholarship from the government because I got TA ship. So. Okay.
And then you went to Florida State and you were at Florida State how many years?
5 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, working on 2 different degrees because you're trying to stay in the U.S.
Well, first I was trying to stay in the U.S. I'm like God opens the door, I'm just going to go there and hit it. I'm like, okay, fine. Why not? So, and it was, I got TA ship and it was ridiculous. So they messed up my documents. So I again lost my job. And it was not my fault. So it was, again, 1 week of decision, staying or going away. And I decided to stay. I had no money. I paid, again, part of the tuition out of my pocket, what I saved the year previous from my job. And so mom and dad sent me, because I lost the TA ship the moment I arrived, I lost the TA ship. But then as I stayed, it was the Lord kept opening the doors. Somebody decided to pay for my insurance in school. Just the whole, like the insurance, they just decided to give me money for insurance.
Yeah, okay.
So $2,000, you know, like, because like I begged everybody And then they reduced my tuition for me. So that's how I like managed it. But and again, I just
eventually you got it. This is at Florida State now. Eventually you got
So in January, I got the TA ship. I straightened out, like everything was straightened out document wise. I got my TA ship, and from then on, I lived off my TA ship, and my schooling was paid fully.
So in my experience with TAs, is that, okay, maybe it covers your, did it cover everything for you? Because I'm thinking you still had a very marginal amount of money.
80%, 20% I paid out of pocket, but I saved it based on my stipend.
Okay.
I saved whatever I could. And then in some, I would get extra scholarship. And they would give me a job in Spanish department. So I worked. So I just saved those money.
So in your budget, like for a week or a month, during your years at Florida State, you know, what were you living off of? $1,000, $1,500 a month. I mean, what were you living off of?
So when I was in Florida State for a Slavic degree, my master Slavic degree, my pay was every 2 weeks, $450.
Okay.
So a month I had $800, out of which I paid for health insurance. I saved money for 20% to pay for the, so $1,000 I always paid for the semester. I paid $235 and then it went to $160 for the rent. And when I had a car, I was given car for free. I never bought a car. When I had a car, I had to pay for insurance. And I was not on a family insurance plan, both medically or car. So my car insurance was very expensive. I paid $85 for car insurance per month. Like I'm living with Ben and we're paying like $20 for car insurance per month. And when you live by yourself, you're an international student, you pay actually much more. So both for medical and for car, because you're not on family plan.
At the end of the day, you weren't getting a lot of money coming in. So you're surviving by keeping your expenses way down. Did you ever like go out to eat?
I didn't go out to eat. Yeah. It was not for practice. And I didn't like even eating out. I told myself I don't like it, so I didn't.
Okay. Did you? But you're pretty social, so that didn't keep you from like hanging out with people, I guess.
Oh, I was over it. Well, I am social, and some I don't know how even like because like, I was kind of so constantly cutting my corners with being social. So, in graduate degrees, just you can't be very social.
Yeah, well, you're working and studying, so mm-hmm. It's challenging. That's challenging. All right, Ben, your financial story for college, yeah. Where did the money come from?
So I had a little bit of, starting out, from 16, I was working summers, saving up some money. And my dad, we were kind of poor when we were young. First two houses were trailers and trailer parks. My parents were very frugal. So they taught me from a young age to be frugal. So I saved up money during college, during high school jobs during the summer. So I had a little bit to help me out from the start. It wasn't much, and then I had a couple small scholarships from my high school that helped out. Like one was like $1,000 scholarship for physics. And then I got a small, I think it was a very small, in fact, I think that might've been the only scholarship I got. There were I got summer internships when I was at Virginia Western and Virginia Tech.
Did you pay for your Virginia Western? So you were responsible for your college expenses. You didn't really get much, you didn't get help from your family, at least officially.
Yeah. Near the end of my undergrad degree, I borrowed some money from my sister. I think several $1,000, and I paid that back. And I think I borrowed a little bit from my dad at one point, which I paid back after a year after graduating with my master's. So, I mean, I didn't get any loans. The only, I borrowed some money from my family. And she borrowed money, and my sister borrowed money from me at another time. So we're kind of like shifting money back and forth around. So it's nice to have family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aside that, just working summers was my main source of income. And my first year at Virginia Western, I was living in my granny's basement, and they were kind enough to let me stay there. But second year, I moved in with a friend, and we were paying rent at somebody's house that they were renting out. So expenses were pretty low. And then at Virginia Tech, again, housing expenses were, I moved into a basement with three guys, and I think it was like $175 a month.
Wow.
So the expenses I kept pretty low because I had pretty low standard of housing.
you and the rats down in the basement.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was funny. My roommate was crazy. There was a time when he was like, I don't want to spend money on heating. And in the winter, I was like, okay, that's cool. So then we let the temperature get down to around like 45 degrees. There was like one day, I think the temperature was 45 degrees inside. We could see our breath. and I was like, you know what? This is crazy. I can't do any work here. I'm in my coat and my gloves. So then we decided to turn it back on.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't want to spend money on eating for a second. And I'm like,
no, oh, that might be part of it.
Well,
trust me.
Well, my food budget was...
I live with Ben.
I ate rice and beans and vegetables and some ramen noodles were in there. Threw in there. And pretty basic, pretty simple, bread sandwiches. Probably wasn't the healthiest, but it got me through. And I didn't eat out much. I ate out occasionally, but pretty rarely.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me each one. If you, what's the most important thing you learned, or one way you changed or grew in during your college experience? So, how about Amelia? You could go first.
Well, I know this is like, I don't know, simple, I guess, but the most important thing, I really grew in my faith, man. And God is bigger than people think, you know, and there's so many more resources out there. I grew my faith with God and different relationship with people. Definitely. My roommates are my best friends. And I had like 11 roommates at Masters. And four roommates, and they just recently visited me, and three roommates in Florida. So make your roommates your best friends.
Mm.
It's the best part of the survival.
All right. Casey, what's the most important thing you learned or how you changed during your college experience?
I met Joe, my husband, Joseph. I met him my freshman year, and the rest is history really now. So that was the biggest way that I changed and grew, just being in a relationship with someone. I had never been in any relationship before, so that was new for me and new for my dad. So he didn't expect me to go off to college and then not come back with, looking back, I didn't take advantage of probably every opportunity I could have because I was, Joseph and I were just together all the time. So I didn't actually spend a lot of time that I could have on campus growing in those ways because I was focused on him and, which isn't a bad thing now, but looking back, I could have taken advantage of the journey more than I did. But it did teach me some independence. I'd never had a job. I had never really anything adult-like, you know, until I got to Hollins. And even at Hollins, it really isn't the adult world completely, but it was a good stepping stone.
Very good. Ben?
Yeah, he sounds like an open-ended question. So the best thing I learned in college was I grew in my Christian faith a lot. I think I discovered really what the gospel was for the first time in college. I joined RUF, and I was struggling with sin, and that was kind of brought me kind of to a point of desperation in college, I think, at some points. And I ended up discovering some people online and listening to sermons and by people like John Piper or John MacArthur, and was discovering what the gospel really was. And really that was the biggest thing. I say that the biggest thing I learned in college, and also learning just meeting people and just learning how to be a friend. Like, you know, it sounds simple, but I met people, you know, my unsaved friends even, who showed me how to be a friend and care about people in ways that I hadn't learned growing up. And so that was really good. And just, the biggest takeaway was growing in my faith. God really got a hold of me through some circumstances, and that was really good. And just discovering what the gospel really was. I didn't understand the gospel that well.
Casey, were you a Christian when you were in college? Would you?
No. I was hoping you'd ask, because I realized after I talked about dating Joseph, I should have prefaced saying I was not a Christian. I thought I was. My grandfather was a Lutheran pastor, but I went to church. I mean, I by myself in high school, but my parents didn't go. My siblings didn't go. I was not a Christian. Even so much so that when I started dating Joseph, he was not a Christian. And he had said, if you're going to be a Jesus freak, that's what he called me at the beginning, then we can't date anymore. So I remember sitting in my dorm one night and just praying, and because I knew God was there, but I wasn't living and abiding in Christ. And I said, God, I'm just going to have to put you on the back burner for a while, because I really want to date this guy, and I can't date this guy and abide in you. And I said that to God, and it's just amazing how he's redeemed all of that. I was not a Christian in college. In fact, we became Christians it'll be 7 years this year coming up next April. Sean McKinney and Chelsea and Whitney Sewell came to our house and shared the gospel with us. It's ironic, Ben, I came to one of your care groups at your old house with Grace Collins, and for the first time, and that's how I got connected with Sovereign Grace and that care group. And I went home that night from that care group, and I said, Joseph, you have to go to this group with me. There's a bunch of guys, and they're so cool, and you're going to make new friends, and it's awesome. And then he's like, I don't know, and then he came to a service with me after that, and the rest is history. But yeah, sorry, that was a really long answer to your question, but I was not a Christian in college.
That was a great answer, and that's very helpful. Actually, it's a great encouragement to hear you coming to Christ through our church. So
yeah, my roommate was Grace Collins at Hollins, a Grace Sheffer now, but she was connected to Sovereign Grace while we were in college, and so that's how I kind of knew about Sovereign Grace, but it wasn't until later that I went to my first service.
Okay. All right, how about Ben? If you could have a redo on your college experience, what's one thing that you would do the same and one thing that you would do differently?
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good question. So would I do the same? I guess I think that it was worth it. The habits of the frugal living that I learned from my dad were, I think, paid off. I think it was definitely worth it. And you know, redeeming the time during the summers to work, I think that was good. And the time that I got involved with RUF and Campus Crusade and InterVarsity a little bit while I was there, that was really worth it. Totally. I think what I wouldn't have done, I thought about this question not much, but yeah, you did get, yeah. What I would have done differently, I would have thought I had a little bit more, because I think God was looking out for me, because I think I would have been a little bit more, I would have studied a little bit more about what I was getting into when I started my master's degree. I actually didn't want to do the normal route where you do a thesis. I wanted to do like a project instead of doing a thesis. But it turns out if you do a project, you're not eligible for a TA. So I ended up getting a TA kind of by accident. They called me up and they're like, "Hey, do you want to get a TA? Or like, we can offer you a TA." And I was like, "Why?" I thought I signed up for the project option for my master's, and they said, "No, you signed up for the thesis." So I accidentally signed up for the thesis option. And in retrospect, I'm really glad I did, because the TA really helped out. So that was sheer providence that worked out. I think it would have been more difficult if I had tried to pay for my master's on my own. So, but at that, you know, I can only chalk that up to God's grace. I guess what I'm saying is I would have researched my options a little bit better there.
You have a very positive, I mean, which you basically have no financial regrets. If you were going to redo something differently, then somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't prepared for that question very well. I'm trying to think of...
It's okay. Amelia, I don't know if you'd do anything different, but if you were in the redo...
I would get a degree in nutrition or nursing. That's because now I realize the necessity of it. Also, what I would
why would you get the degree?
Because I also want to get the degree in nutrition now.
Your counseling degree was worth it, right?
Yeah, no, I love my degrees. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't regret I get my degrees. When I came to the United States, I was learning how to live the life of an American. I didn't know how to, the cell phone system is so different. Banks, I never used banks before in my life. Submitting papers online, are you kidding me? No. So I was learning all these things from scratch. So I was never efficient. And I was not efficient, and I'm a huge perfectionist, so I would definitely work on my time better, differently. I think I procrastinated by being a perfectionist. I don't regret that I was a perfectionist. It paid off in some ways, but I think I would arrange my years of graduate work in a different way completely. I would do much more research and other things, and I just didn't. So that's what I would do differently. What I do with same, I would probably do finances the same way. I would probably, big part of my schooling was, I feel like I'm bragging, but I never bought books. I scanned everything. So
you go to the library, pick out the book, and then just scan a bunch of pages to get whatever.
I borrowed books from my people who bought them. I scanned them, and then I just use those scanned copies. So not very, I don't know. But I never gave them to anybody. I just use them to people who are like desperate, you know? So,
librarian in me is cringing, but. I said the librarian in me is cringing over the copyright infringement there, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
I asked multiple times the professors, and they told me, if you're not selling it and if you're not sending it out, it's okay to do it for yourself. So I'm like, fine. So, what else did I do? As I said, my roommates and I, we all survive together all the time. So it's huge help. Not that I use them for survival, right? If it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But in biblical counseling, our professor told us, your roommates are the ones who see how you leave. So you should be best friends with them or pursue friendships. And actually it worked in the end of the day because we really become friends and helped each other out a lot.
That's a great learning point right there. Just the power of community.
Socialism, man. At home, socialism. Not outside of it.
Well, it's not socialism.
It's not socialist. I was joking with my friend. I'm so capital. Like, I love capitalism so much. But I told my friends, no individualism, no capitalism here. We're not individualistic. We're socialistic inside of the house. We share everything.
not at the government level.
I know you don't agree. I don't like socialism either. I hate it so much.
Yeah. Casey, what would you do if you were to redo? What would you do the same? What would you do different?
What I would do the same is I'm so grateful I met my husband because that changed my life. But as far as what I would do differently, my parents didn't have a plan for me. They didn't talk about planning for the future. Even the guidance counselors in school, they never presented any other options to me other than a four-year school. I didn't even think about community college except that I wanted to move away from home. But I didn't think about what the expenses are, what it meant to live on my own, and I had no clue what I was getting into. I had no plan. I just went to a four-year school and got the loans and figured I would just get a job and pay them back later, no problem. Well, yes, I can speak French fluently, but I don't like teaching. Like, what am I doing with it? It's nothing. It's the degree sitting in my underwear drawer. I'm rambling, but I didn't have a plan. Even in college, I didn't really have a plan. I just kind of did what interested me and what I liked. And that's important, but I think it's important to try to think about your future. And Hollins had a career center. They had guidance counselors. They had all of those things, but I didn't take advantage of them because I didn't want to. Like, and I should have. I should have. I've said plan a lot, but I should have had a plan. I should have been a bit more practical. I didn't know. My parents didn't live on a budget. They didn't know how to manage money, and so I didn't have a budget. I didn't know how to manage my money, and so we're still struggling now and trying to fix. And I'm 34 years old almost, and so just the right foundations. I think a long answer to your question would just be foundations, financial foundation, and just knowing that a four-year degree isn't the only option. There are lots of options, and now we have Laurel, and we have set her up in a little account to start saving for her. But we've decided, you know, if she goes to college with it, great. If she wants to do a trade, great. Like, whatever she wants to do to pursue something, but it's not specifically earmarked for college because, I mean, Joseph, he has a high school diploma and he runs a business. Like, college was just never for him. All of that to say, just don't box yourself in thinking four-year degree is the only option. You can get an associate's or get a nursing or get a trade. I mean, I just didn't realize when I was in high school that there were other options than just I thought the only thing to do was get away from home and, you know, study whatever I wanted. I didn't think about, okay, what does that look like in real life? My parents did the best they could, but with five kids and, you know, my dad making 30 grand a year, like, they were just trying to survive too. So, and keep all the kids alive and fed. So it just wasn't a priority. And, so we're trying to make that a priority with Laurel now. But anyway, sorry, I'm rambling on.
But that's rambling's okay. So, you know, we spent in the first session, we talked about stewardship. And when I think about your statements about having a plan, you're speaking to what I am investing myself. How am I going to be able to, okay, for the Christian, how am I going to be able to serve God and his kingdom down the road with this degree, with this learning? You know, we want to connect. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God, and he has a calling for us. So how can I serve that? So to me, that's part of your plan. You know, I kind of expect you to say not getting, yeah, the loans themselves were constraining, and they're, you know, you feel them.
Yeah. I feel them now, but when I was in school, I didn't feel them. I just figured, oh, I'd take care of it later. But by the time I was done and I had, you know, 50 grand undergrad, and then to get my master's, because again, I didn't really know what I wanted to do except not work in a call center. I just took out what I needed, and I didn't think about the implications and the consequences of it. I think about it now. I mean, because I'm still paying loans from Hollins, you know, and I've graduated, what, 15 years ago, my undergrad. So, just a tangible example. My senior year at Hollins, when I went over, I went abroad to France, I needed $10,000 was the gap between what I had and what I still needed to fulfill tuition. So I took out a private loan for $10,000, and I've been paying on that loan since, 15 years later. And do you know how much I owe now? $16,000.
Wow.
Because of the interest. So yeah. My time in France was wonderful, but I would not do that trip again if I had to pull out debt to do it. It's crushing. The weight of everything we're working through it, and it's encouraging to see some of those things go away little by little, but just don't have the mindset of I'll take this loan out now and pay for it later and just figure it out, because you just don't know what God's going to do or what's going to happen later. I graduated in 2009, right after the big recession. So there weren't a lot of jobs anyway. And anyway, I digress. Just
I think the your point maybe is the most important point of the whole conversation. So, yeah, I really appreciate your sense of having a plan and trying to steward the opportunity. Really, is the statement. But I love how you're stewarding your opportunities now.
Thank you.
So,
hello?
All right. Has there been a scripture in your college years? Casey, maybe you can think of, you're allowed to think beyond college years. That God really used to encourage you.
The scripture. This is John 13. Talks about owe no one anything and serve everyone in love. I think Joseph and I have been kind of praying about that that scripture and the season that we've been walking through, just what that looks like as we get out of debt and we're better stewards. So that's the scripture we've kind of been clinging to lately. I think it's John 13.
It's a great scripture. I think it's Romans 13:8, right in there. But it's a good scripture. I like it. Ben and Amelia, any scripture that God used during your college time that you'd want to share?
The one that comes to mind for me, I think, is Matthew 6:33, which is, the Gentiles pursue all kinds of things, and they're worried about, what they'll eat and drink, and they're just worried about where they're going to get the things they need. And he says, don't worry about all those things, but pursue my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. And I really love that, because it's simple. Because I didn't have financial concerns weren't at the top of my list when I was in college, but I had a lot of other worries. I just felt like, I just feel like, why? What am I living for? and just to hear that from God, God saying, "Look, I'm only concerned. There's really two things that I want you to be concerned about, and that's pursuing my kingdom and my righteousness." And that was a real comfort to me, and really, realigning my heart with God. I was focused on myself and, career and school. And that was I just felt that was really turning my heart to where it needed to be.
Amelia.
As I said, I was in biblical counseling for 2 years. So for 2 years, we were learning scriptures, and that really helped me to survive in the States. We learned so much that I don't remember all the addresses, but one of my favorite is Psalm 27:4. One day I've asked for the Lord that I would meditate about his beauty every day in my life. And I'm paraphrasing the text. And I think just being close to the Lord, not that I always was, there was time when I did fall and fail. But really helped me to have God as my best friend and not human beings. And great is thy faithfulness, that hymn. I don't know how many times I would go to church and I would cry during that thing, because truly, he really showed that he's faithful. He's faithful in time when you don't have food in your fridge, when you don't have car, when you walk in the heat for 3 hours. He's faithful. And you don't have to live like all successful people here. It's fine to be not like successful people. It's fine to be partly homeless. It's okay. God is faithful in that, and he'll bring you to the best, better end. So, and I really like Philippians 4:6-8, be anxious for nothing, but in every supplication, make your requests known to God. Think on whatever is honorable, whatever is good. Just thinking on the right things, not on the wrong things, has really helped my to not fall into full depression. Just thinking that I need to get up, brush my teeth, put my clothes on, and get going. And I need to think that God is good today, and I have food today, and that is good. And my school is paid today, and tomorrow I don't know. I don't have money for school, but God is going to figure out something.
Amen.
With many counselors, a matter succeed from Proverbs. I always sought counsel. I talk to people about my situation all the time, Christians and non-Christians. Some Christians can be very helpful with resources.
Yeah, very good.
I found that super true. It's Romans 13:8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." So Joseph and I have been just meditating on that and feeling convicted and holding on to that as we work through the process of getting
our business out of debt and our personal selves out of debt.
Amen. Amen. Do any of our listeners have any questions? Anything you want to ask before we finish up?
Hey, I just had a question about work study things, because Casey, you were talking about doing work study earlier. What is that like? What did you do, and how often did you do it?
When I applied initially to Hollins, they had indicated in the application, they asked if I was willing to do work study while in school, and I was like, I don't really know what that is, but sure. So I checked the box, and basically I worked 20 to 22 hours a week. And I worked in different departments on campus. I copied things, scanned pages of textbooks for professors, and different departments. I worked on different things. And I had a timesheet, and it was literally the federal government pays you minimum wage. I think it was like $7 or something at the time, an hour. And all of that money I elected to have to go toward my tuition. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we chatted a little about work study last week, and I didn't mention most work study or a lot of work study is funded federally, not always, but a lot of the federal money that comes in is through work study. And actually, those of you that are in college now maybe have some good experiences with work study. So, any other questions? Okay, I want to thank our panelists for their sharing their lives with us and sharing their stories. And it's a privilege to be able to see into your world and into your life, and you didn't have to do that. So thank you. I think all three of your lives are beautiful lives. And God's painting a beautiful picture of himself in you guys. And I thank you for your willingness to be part of this. It's just another sunshiny day there. So thank you very much. All right. Then we will end. Thank you, God, for this time. Would you? I hope you guys have a great rest of your Sunday. Thanks again. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.